ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and seniors so that I can speak from Srimad Bhagavatam truthfully, beneficially, and pleasingly, especially for my own purification. Hare Krishna. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, entitled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. And text is number 15. So there are six lines, kindly repeat. Natatai tarhiro chante. Grihesu griha sampada. Yavinasya grihe mata.
Learned man.
Ka.
Who is that?
Who is that?
Nama.
Nama.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Asita.
Asita.
Would sit.
Would sit.
Dinavat.
Dinavat.
Like a poverty-stricken creature.
Like a poverty-stricken creature.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Rakinja. King Puranjana said, I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. I think that if there is neither a mother nor a devoted wife at home, the home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down on such an unworkable chariot? Can you repeat? King Puranjana said.
King Puranjana said.
I do not understand.
I do not understand.
Why my household paraphernalia?
Why my household paraphernalia?
Does not attract me as before.
Does not attract me as before.
I think that. If there is neither a mother nor devoted wife at home. The home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down?
Where is the fool who will sit down?
On such an unworkable chariot.
On such an unworkable chariot.
Purport. The great politician Chanakya Pandit said, Madhava and Matayasya Krihenasti Bharya Kacha Priya Vadini Aranyam Tenatan Gantavyam Yataranyam Tathagriham. If a person has neither a mother nor a pleasing wife at home, he should leave home and go to the forest, because for him there is no difference between the forest and home. The real Mata or mother is devotional service to the Lord. And the real Patni or devoted wife is a wife who helps her husband execute religious principles in devotional service. These two things are required for a happy home. Actually, a woman is supposed to be the energy of the man. Historically, in the background of every great man, there is a mother or a wife. One's household life is very successful if he has both good wife and mother. In such case, everything about household affairs and all the paraphernalia in the household becomes very pleasing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had both a good mother and a pleasing wife, and he was very happy at home. Nonetheless, for the benefit of the whole human race, he took sannyas and left both his mother and wife. In other words, it is essential that one have both a good mother and a wife in order to become perfectly happy at home. Otherwise, home life has no meaning. Unless one is religiously guided by intelligence and renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his home can never become very pleasing to a saintly person. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, there is no need of his taking sannyas. That is, unless it is absolutely necessary, as it was for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many wonderful points about successful household life here. Even though the verse itself kind of indicates that, it's time to take sannyas, or at least a vanaprastha. King Puranjana is not, he has lost his attraction to all household paraphernalia, and then there is no mother nor a pleasing wife. So, so what's the use? The problem here is that as King Puranasan himself says, that I do not understand. He doesn't understand why he has lost his attraction to household. Mm-hmm. So obviously this means that he is not actually ready. He still has, he's a kind of ignorant of the situation. So we are, before coming to the devotional service, we are so much filled with ignorance and attachment to the material world. So some of us may have experienced this kind of shift from normal materialistic life when we try to take some steps towards the ashram life, leaving our old habits, old world vision behind. Then we have somehow been opened, our eyes have been a little bit opened towards spiritual life, and then the kind of border area comes where we are a little bit invited to move in the ashram. So in the beginning this might be a little bit like a gray area. You have kind of lost attraction to normal material life, and then you try to take steps towards ashram life. So so there must might be some suspicion or a little, one might be a little bit afraid to take that step to unknown, so to say, the ashram. But he should develop confidence that Krishna will reciprocate whatever we do to him. I mean, taking a step towards ashram life and discipline of an authority and dedicating oneself to spiritual life, that's a big step which Krishna is definitely attracted to. It is said that if one takes even one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. So Krishna is attracted to that situation. And if we manage to take that step, we will gradually notice that, like I said, yeyata mahaprabhyate tamstataiva bhajamiham mama vartman marta vartante manushya parta sarvasa. That Krishna says that I reward everyone according to their surrender. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. And everyone is following his path, Krishna's path, in all respects. So we are generally filled with ignorance and attachment, and that is opposite to knowledge and renunciation, or knowledge and detachment, like that. The verse in Bhagavatam says that Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayochita Chananya Chananam Ashupairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. So by rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and attachment to this material world. So obviously, King Puranasan was in a situation that he didn't perform devotional service, but still there, he was facing this facing some forceful detachment, he had to forcefully renounce something. There was a funny little video clip one time, which I saw. There was one penguin which was walking on a springboard, and under the springboard there was a water pool. So the penguin walked on the edge of the springboard, and he was looking around, seeing that okay, water is there, but it's on such a low level. I go back. He was afraid to jump in the water from the springboard. He was looking around, and he was going again to the springboard to see what's going on there. And there was a text also going on the video that sometimes you have a desire to pursue your goals, but something is holding you back. You're afraid to go towards your goal. So, again, the penguin walked back on the mainland. He was still looking around curiously, seeing what's going on. And third time, he also again walked on the springboard. Now there was a text that you might even need a little push to to getting the goal which you actually desire. And then after some point, one foot of the penguin slid, and he bumped on the springboard with his behind, and then splash, he dropped in the water. We might be in this kind of, we might have experienced this kind of situation, that sometimes material nature arranges us to go further in life. We should always be confident that Krishna has everything in his hands, and he knows what we are after, and he knows what we need. He also knows what we desire, but that may always not go hand in hand with what Krishna sees as what we actually need. And this was also in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had I wouldn't say troublesome, but not so easy household life. And then he meets his spiritual master and becomes inspired by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's character and teachings. So he started to help the devotees more and more, and he actually became very much acknowledged about the final actual goal of human life, and began to preach. And he also had an idea, because his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta gave him an instruction to preach in English language to the Western world. So he thought that he needed some money for that. So his idea was to go on with his business and gather large amounts of money so he could print books and follow the order of his spiritual master, print books and distribute them widely. But it so happened that his marriage failed, and his assistants robbed him from his property of his business. So he kind of lost everything. Before that, he was seeing dreams about his spiritual master asking him to take sannyas and preach with me. So Prabhupada was very, very much afraid of these dreams. But then it happened that he lost everything. And then he was just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and he came across this famous verse, which is there in the 10th canto, in the discussion between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Krishna. Yasyaham anugrihnami haristetvartharam shanai tatotanam tyakchantyasya svajana dukha dukhitam. If I especially favor someone, Krishna says, I gradually deprive him of his wealth, then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. And when Prabhupada was reading this, he was already in a state of consciousness that he just left. Now he could understand everything. His plan has failed. Now there's a saying that how you can make Krishna laugh. So you know everything. That's a very attractive suggestion, to try to make Krishna laugh, and that's another way to reciprocate with Krishna. But how to make Krishna laugh? Tell him your plans. So even Srila Prabhupada, he had his plans to accumulate lots of money with his business, but that failed. But at the same time, he had a prediction from childhood that he would be the richest man in India. So history shows how he was able to spread the movement and get a lot of money for Krishna's service. So there's a comparison of three kinds of personalities: a fool, and a devotee, and a materialist. And it was compared that the fool and a devotee, they can be very happy in this world. But the materialist is full of anxiety, and that goes together with the, as I was saying before, about the ignorance and attachment versus knowledge and renunciation. So, the materialist is full of anxiety because he is ignorant and attracted to this world. That attachment to this world creates so much anxiety. He's making plans to achieve so many things in this world for his sense enjoyment and for his expansions of his sense enjoyment. And he's ignorant about the final goal of the supreme goal of life, the meaning of life. Then the fool can be happy because he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what the attachment to this material world is, and he has no knowledge about any means of pursuing for his goal. So, because he's a fool, and so he's happy being as a fool. But the devotee, still. Devotee is also happy, but there's a difference between fool's happiness and devotee's happiness. So there's no attachment to this world for a fool, neither for a devotee, but the fool is ignorant, whereas a devotee is knowledgeable about the goal of life. And practically, devotee would understand that he doesn't have to worry about anything because he knows that everything is in Krishna's hands anyway. Everything is Krishna's property, and all he has to do is render service to Krishna and use all of Krishna's energy for his service. So no worries. So attachment causes anxiety. As soon as you get something, you are afraid how, when are you going to lose it? Because it's material world, temporary by nature, so you are definitely going to lose what everything you have, including your own body. Even the body will fall apart at one point. So the devotees are, in our system we are cultivating the idea of renunciation, of becoming detached to the material world. And this would be actually very helpful to cooperate with the police system. the devotees try to be satisfied whatever is their quota for life. That's what we are pursuing for, and develop detachment to the material world. So this would be a good institution for criminals to get rid of their bad habits of crime, and because the criminals, the crime is based on that people want more than what is their quota. So we are trying to, we would be able to help. We have a system of becoming detached to this material world. So if everybody would be satisfied with what they have, so there wouldn't be any necessity for crime, criminal acts. And the crime is because we think that we own something. Rishabhadev puts the things very straightforward. Pumsasthriya mituni pavane tam tayor mitha hridaya granti mahu ato kriya kshetra sudapta vidaya chanasya mohoyam aham amaiti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So this thinking in terms of I and mine, what yesterday had the radio station IIFM, what is in it for me? So criminals, they think that if they would act in certain way, they would be able to achieve a lot more without, they don't know that there's a quota for what everybody has. We have our quota of happiness, and as we are trying to pursue more than is our quota, because the quota has to be in balance, where material nature arranges an occasion that the balance of our balance is remaining the same. So, as far as we go up, above our quota, our material world arranges that we go below the quota also at some point. So, just that we are able to remain in balance with our quota. So, there's no end for greediness or desires. Even a millionaire says that he's very poor, he wants to be a billionaire, and so on and so on. But we know that everything belongs to Krishna ultimately. Isavasyam inam sarvam yaptitam jagatyam jagatena tyaktena punchita makrida kasya svidharam. Krishna is the maintainer of all living and moving and unmoving, moving living entities. And one shouldn't pursue anything more than what is his quota, because one should know that everything ultimately belongs to Krishna. So we are as opulent and as happy as is our previous pious activities. But if you become a devotee, you can actually even surpass with incredible things whatever is your piety. Bhaktivedanta Puna Maharaj gave one nice example about in the late 60s, the hippie culture was very prominent in the Western world. And hippie culture was expressed mainly by music. And out of the musical groups, the Beatles was the most popular. So that's why everybody wanted to associate with them. But because they were so popular, how close can you get? I mean, there are security guards, fences in the concerts. So you have to have a certain degree of piety to be able to associate with them directly. But as far as the devotees go, when they came to England, they ended up staying in the Beatles' house. So Krishna can dovetail these things if he sees that devotees' endeavors are sincere and everything devotees are using that they are using in Krishna's service. There was lots of discussion by Prabhupada about household life. So traditionally, after marriage, the wife goes to live in the house of her husband and the husband's family. Therefore, there's a point in the marriage where the wife begins to cry because she has to leave her parents' house. So this wife going to the husband's house is a kind of symbolic of husband's capability of giving shelter to the wife. And it was said here that if the husband has both wife and the mother in the house, then his life is very successful, very pleasing. Behind every successful man, there's a woman. I mean, every man is born from the womb of a mother. So that's an inevitable fact. And then in the household life, I've heard it said that mother of the husband doesn't directly teach the new wife for household things, but she teaches them through her own daughter. Mother teaches her daughter in order to teach the new wife how things should be working in the household. But unfortunately, I've experienced that sometimes when this situation is there, the mother being so much attached to her son, becomes actually jealous of the newlywed wife, and considers the wife of her son as a competitor. Because of such attachment, that might create some problematic situation in a household life. but the husband should be getting energy from the mother and the wife. The husband is in charge of the religious activities. It is said that the man is supposed to be spiritual and the wife is supposed to be religious. And so that the perfect persons of spiritual life is taking place in the household. But now here in this verse, it appears that King Puranjana has lost everything. But still there's no loss, actually. Unfortunately, King Puranjan doesn't seem to be understanding this. But because it is said in the song that Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Brahma, that even though you don't have any family or relatives, Krishna is your mother, and Krishna is your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. And maybe you can understand that a husband would consider his wife as a treasure of his life, but actually Krishna is our ultimate treasure in life. So if a husband loses all of these, still there is no loss, because there is always Krishna. And as time goes by, we are going to lose these relationships in the material world. Just like the waves of a river are gathering a bunch of straws together. After some time, those same waves of the river, they are separating these straws. That is our relationships in this material world. And basically, we come together for some seemingly unknown reasons, and after the life is gone, we are separated from each other. So there's no actual reason to become attached to anything. So also yesterday we spoke about saintly person doesn't delight in sources of misery which are due to the conduct of material senses. So in this material world we are looking for happiness from external things, things which are coming outside of our body. But it's an amazing thing that actually, well, these things outside of body, they have a temporary nature. Like you see a new set of clothes in a shop window and you become attracted to them, and you just wait for the next salary so you have money to go and buy them. And you feel some happiness for some time when you are wearing them. But after some time, those clothes will wore out, or some accident happen, you fall, and you get a hole on your pants, or something happens. So the interesting thing, if we examine very closely, that feeling of happiness is coming from inside of us. It's not that there's some happiness energy vibrating from the objects of our senses into our consciousness. But the feeling of happiness is it prepares the happiness feeling from inside of us, and therefore we think that this external thing is bringing me happiness. But there's a source of happiness inside of you. And the temporary things from outside the body, because they are temporary, after some time, and when they are broken or lost, or somebody eats it, or something happens. So it also brings misery. And that's also present inside of us. So the question is, how to get that happiness without the misery? So we just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And don't worry about the external things. Understand their nature. External things are just temporary. So because materialist is ignorant about this, so he thinks that the body is all in all, and good condition of the body, how much one can enjoy with the body, that's the ultimate goal of life, that's the essence. But a devotee understands that even this body is temporary. And it's actually limiting us for performing devotional service. The body is limiting us. Very enthusiastic devotee might understand that, might want to serve Krishna more and more, go on Harinams for 25 hours a day. But the body is limiting for us to do that. Like Prahlad Maharaj preaches to his schoolmates that half of life is wasted by sleeping. So the body has to be put in sleep and it has to be fed. Luckily we have prasadam, but which is another form of devotional service. But the body is limited. Therefore, there's an analogical statement that the material world is like a toilet, and we should take it as such. Just finish your business and get out. Unfortunately, a materialist doesn't understand the problematic situation of the material world. When I was a new bhakta going on the streets, I met one alcoholic person, and he told me his story that he was actually a doctor. Doctor means like medical doctor. He was well educated, but he had a very beautiful and lovely wife. The wife died, so he was so much attached to his wife, so he couldn't bear the situation, so he became an alcoholic. Some years back there was also a kind of a wave where the thing was that old people were kind of neglected by their children, and they were just left alone in their own apartment, and therefore they became so depressed that they started committing suicide. So this is a problem of the world. The people are driven to these kind of situations because they don't know. They are ignorant and they are attached to things that they think that they should be confronting in this world in order to be happy. Namely, different varieties of sense enjoyment. we should learn how Krishna is actually everywhere, and we have a relationship with Krishna. This needs to be evolved. Krishna is in every atom, and Antarasta Paramana Chantarasta, Lord Brahma prays, and Prabhupada expands that Krishna is even between every atom. So, and our body is consisting of atoms. All we see is atoms all around us. So where is Krishna? Krishna is everywhere. But this material world is made in such a way that we have been given the chance to think that there's no God, no Krishna. And that creates an interesting situation here. to try to perceive Krishna everywhere. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they give some primary ideas. If we are not able to understand Krishna as he is, at least there are some some ways to try to perceive it. Like Krishna says that I'm the light of the sun, of the reservoirs, I'm the ocean. All the trees are like a supreme personalities, bodily air. I'm tasting water, everybody's drinking water in one form or another. So in this kind of perception of Krishna everywhere, we can become enthused with Krishna's presence, and therefore we get the drive to start serving Krishna in varieties of ways. Like Rupa Goswami lists these six things favorable for devotional service, and it begins with enthusiasm. One needs to be enthusiastic, and if somebody's Krishna consciousness, that enthusiasm is very automatic. Just those who are initiated, just think of your own Gurudev coming to your temple. Immediately there's some enthusiasm, vibration rising in your consciousness, and you're making plans to get very busy very soon. So, therefore it's a very great blessing that we have a spiritual master who is in this way, who is transferred via media to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can experience this divine enthusiasm with devotional service. So we could try to learn to see Krishna everywhere, because Krishna is everywhere. There's nothing actually but nothing else but Krishna. But as soon as we walk out, we see the beautiful deity form here in the temple. But as soon as we walk outside, are we perceiving Krishna? Outside the temple, we are also reciprocating with Krishna, with his universal form. We learn from Bhagavad Gita how Arjuna was very much afraid of the universal form. So in that way also it is maybe more beneficial for us to come to the temple and see the beautiful form of Krishna here in the temple, until we manage to come to that platform that we are really able to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And meanwhile, we perform the Yuga Dharma enthusiastically by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I can stop there. Thank you very much for tolerating my broken English. If there's any questions or comments, I will try to answer.
Thank you, class. I have a question. You're talking about Grihastha life, and the husband should uphold spirituality, and the wife should uphold religious principles. So, can you explain the difference? Is there a difference between these two concepts?
Difference between man's spirituality and the husband's spirit being spiritual and the wife being religious. Following the ritual, religious principles, that's for both. But being religious. Well, spirituality is like understanding Krishna everywhere. Like I was trying to describe, getting a little bit deeper of our understanding philosophically and putting it into practice and getting all these realizations. I heard this statement from Bhaktivedanta Puna Maharaj. Maybe he would be able to elaborate better. And also, as it was said in a purport by Srila Prabhupada, good wife should assist the husband in religious activities. And therefore, the wife is getting all the benefits of the husband's spiritual advancement. And the spiritual realizations. Usually, the spiritual perception is for prominent for those who are in the male body. My observation is that the women or the female more easily turn towards God, but what comes to spiritual realization and spiritual practices, it's easier for that in a male body. But we also have an example of situations which are actually vice versa. Like there's a story of Brahmana's wives getting blessed by Krishna. The husbands are doing the ritualistic religious performances, spiritual performances, sacrifices, but they don't recognize Krishna. But then the wives simply, they provide simple fruits for Krishna, and therefore they are actually becoming more blessed in that situation. So don't take it for granted that it's better to be in the male body. But that's kind of a general settlement. Anything else?
Probably you cited one verse. The one where Krishna is, if Krishna has favor, shows favor to his devotee, gradually takes away these things. I was wondering, naturally, when somebody receives something, they become very grateful and very happy, and naturally they thank God, thank you very much for giving me this this thing. But so does that mean that if one receives these things, that I can't understand how Krishna, if Krishna shows favor upon somebody, that he takes something away, or takes things away. But when you receive something, you naturally just become grateful towards Krishna, as if he's giving it. So that, does that mean that he doesn't have favor upon you if you're receiving something?
So when Krishna takes away from your property, is that kind of, you are not favored by Krishna,
right,
for receiving it? First of all, there's an interesting settlement that Lord Shiva is very poor. He is like a poverty stricken, like a dirty, externally dirty, seemingly dirty. But his followers, his worshippers, they get rich. But Krishna's worship is totally vice versa. Krishna is the rich person who has everything, and his servants are very poor, poverty stricken. Well, this is just a an idea that a person would take very sincerely shelter of Krishna, not from not being allured by the material energy in any way. But as I was also describing a life experience of Srila Prabhupada, he lost everything, but then he gained much more than he would have been able to gather with his own endeavors as a business maker. But the devotee being grateful for what Krishna provides him, what would devotee use what Krishna provides him anyway? He would use it for Krishna service. Being grateful, of course we are grateful for Krishna, whatever he provides for us, but just remember that it's not about us, it's about Krishna. I'm just thinking of like Prabhupada criticized the Christian term, oh God, give us our daily bread and we'll be thankful to you. Indicating that Christians think of Krishna as a baker. But Krishna is the Supreme Person that we've got it, and we are meant to please him. What would you thank for? Thank for me being able to facilitate my pleasing you. So it's not about us, it's about Krishna. Anything else? There's nothing in Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Gita.